Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Christ Community Church. We're glad you guys are here spending your Sunday morning with us. It's a beautiful Sunday. I'm always encouraged, you know. I see food and fellowship and laughter. That's good. Amen? It means there's life in the body of believers and that Jesus, as we're getting ready, right, for this season, and we're in the middle of season of Lent, how God is moving, right, and doing different things. And you see the Holy Spirit working and activating, right? Not the activation that we, what's that lady? Holy Spirit activate. The Spirit's already activated in us, amen? But we welcome Him because He gives us power, right? In today's message, we're going to learn a lot about a unique encounter that Jesus had with somebody. And you guys are already familiar. If you've been in church for a while, you probably heard at least a dozen messages. And so what we always try to say is, listen, God's Word never comes back, amen? And so we're going to learn, not only did Jesus come to set us free, right, from our sin, but He also came to set us free from our shame. And that's the title of today's message. Because the enemy is a liar, amen? You guys all know that. The enemy will use your past, your heartbreak, will use your insecurities against you to call you by those things. But in Jesus, we learned last week what? That we're born again. And that we're not those things. The enemy will still try to use those tactics, right? Try to get us in a headlock, try to keep us down. But in Jesus, we have freedom. In Jesus, we have victory. And in Jesus, again, we put our faith in Him. We're born again, not of the flesh like we learned last week, but of the Spirit. And so God is awesome because we're in the middle of this series right now as we're preparing our hearts. You know, we do this right around Christmas. We always say we want to prepare our hearts for the coming, for the birth of Jesus. And this season, what do we want to do? We want to prepare our hearts for what? Resurrection Sunday, amen? That's bigger than the Super Bowl. Everybody is a winner there when you say yes to Jesus. I know. It's tough. I always say, Fernando's here, my brother Fernando's not here. He's really big into sports. He's always talked to me about football. And this and that. I'm a Bills fan, so my heart is broken every year. You guys need to keep praying for me, right? My brother's a Bengals fan too. I don't know what God was doing. Like, He wanted us to be men of faith. Every year we believe we're going to win and disappointment. But Jesus never disappoints us. Amen. And so we're going to be reading and we're going to be spending a lot of time in John chapter 4 because we're going to be learning from an encounter that somebody had or a woman had with Jesus. And it's going to be the story of the woman at the well. And you guys all know that she was a Samaritan woman. And there's a lot to do there. There's a lot to unpack. We're going to cover a lot of ground. I have my PowerPoint right here. You guys know, right? I'm going to point. You guys know, just so you guys know, if you guys are new to the church, I'm a big nerd. I haven't stopped being a nerd. I love slides and maps and I love visuals because we all learn differently. Amen? Right? Some of us learn by what? By hearing. That's my number one method of hearing, although my wife will say, that's not true. Because she talks to me and I'm like, what? Are you listening to me? I just finished. Or then I'll start, it's funny, we'll be talking, and then I start saying something, she's like, oh my gosh, I just said that. And I said, see how we're the same person? I turn it around like I was, and it was a good thing, amen? God is good. But we all learn differently. Some of us learn by doing, right? Some of us learn by watching. So what we try to do is try to mix in some things so that we can bring the Word to life, right? The Holy Spirit brings the Word to life first and foremost. But secondly, what do? It's the application. And how do we round out what we're learning from the Bible? So again, the series that we're in the middle of is a series called Letting Go. Not to be confused with Let It Go, all of you Frozen fans. Okay, letting go. Because we're letting go of a lot of different things, right? Week one, we learned that we have to let go of our shallow religion, right? Shallow religion. Because the human being, the human heart, and just as people, we're very religious people, right? I said it week one, some of us are very religious about different things. Very religious about sports. Very religious about how you look, right? There's somebody has a tagline that says, it's better to be late than to be ugly. It's better to be late, right, than to show up with your shoes not matching your outfit. Yes? Right? That's a, that. But we're very religious about those things, right? I'm just saying, aren't we that way? We're very religious about, you know, certain things. It has to be a certain way. I like this way. And if it doesn't go that way, oh man, you better not even get near me. Yeah? We're very religious. We're very self-righteous. I'm guilty of it myself. And then we learned, right? That was week one. God came to set us free from shallow religion. And then he came to rewire us through the Holy Spirit. And last week we learned again that we're born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And today we're picking up on how Jesus came to set us free from our shame. So let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 4. We're going to be spending a lot of time there, and I'm going to be making some pit stops along the journey to kind of talk about what we're reading. So John chapter 4. And let's just start from verse 1. Why not? John chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John," this is John the Baptist, "although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but it was disciples," right? "So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was also there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself? Also, did not his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I won't have to be thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water.' And he told her, 'Go, call your husband and come back.' And she said, 'I have no husband,' she replied. And Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true.' 'Sure,' the woman replied, 'I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain. You Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem.' 'Woman,' Jesus replied," I love that, he just hit her with a woman, right? "'Woman,' Jesus replied, 'believe me.'" Now, that's Jesus talking. Guys, don't try that ever. I'm trying to do you a favor, okay? You say babe or sweetheart or, okay, not woman. But Jesus can say it. He says, "'Woman,' Jesus replied, 'believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, right? For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Amen. We'll pause there. Put a little pin on it. A little pin there, because we still got another about 12 verses to go. I mean, that's a big piece of steak, yeah? It's a lot of scripture. You're like, man, breathe, right? It's a lot of ground that's covering. Now, let's dive into it. We always like to talk about when you hear a good story, and Adrian, I'm not talking about cheese, man. But when you hear a good story, you want to say like, "Hey, who was there? Oh, tell me all about it. And where were they going?" Does that resonate with you? It's not enough just to tell you the story, right? You want to know all the details. Yeah? The Bible's the same way, guys. When we dive into the Word, we got to be like, tell me more about it, Jesus. Gossiping, the gospel. Amen? Not the kind of gossip that we're into, but gossiping, get into the juice. Oh, man, tell me more, Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do today. In fact, we're going to pick up and look at the context of today's passage. The context is always what? What's happening? Because whenever you hear a good story, you're always saying, what was going on? What happened before? What were they wearing? What kind of car were they driving? Where were they going? Yeah? Okay. Not that kind of gossip. Gossiping the gospel today. So, in John chapter 4, the beginning part of it, what we find out, right, is that people were being baptized. He was somewhere. Where was he at? In the beginning of this passage, he was in a place called Jerusalem. Man, you guys are so smart. I always tell you guys, I drive around Sanger Sunday mornings. I'm looking for the most intelligent and beautiful church, and it's always right here. Amen, right? I mean, those people over there are right, too. They're in the body of believers, but not like this church. Amen? God is good. That's why you guys are so smart. He's starting off. He's in Jerusalem, right? So, Lily, throw the map up there, please. There's a map, because I always say, like, it's important. You know, when we tell the story here, in your mind, you already know. I was going to Fresno. I was in Orange Cove. I was heading this way. So we're picking up this passage. They're starting down here in Jerusalem. And he's going to where? To Gala. Man, told you. Smart. Smart, telling you. So he's going from Jerusalem to Galilee. Guys, I know you see that in one verse and you're like, oh, okay, cool. That's far. I don't know if you guys recognize that. Wrap it around your brain. He has a long way to go. In fact, it's not like us. Look, we get invited to go somewhere like to Fresno, and we're like, oh, that's far. I don't want to go all the way to Fresno, right? Did anybody do that? Where are we going to go for dinner? Oh, Olive Garden. I don't want to go all the way over there. Even though they have the free breadsticks and all-you-can-eat salad, that's too far, right? Does anybody do that? Amen? Some of you guys, right? It's too far to go. Listen, just so you can wrap your brain around it, that's about 120 miles between Jerusalem and Galilee. That's a long way. Actually, it's about 65. It doubled in my mind. But what we're picking up here, it says that Jesus had to go through what? It's a place called and ends with Mary. I'm telling you guys. Samaria, right? So he's starting up here, and he has to go here, about halfway, midpoint. How far do you guys think that is? It's pretty far. It's 30 miles. It's 30 miles about from here, from Reedley to Fresno. And he didn't have a car. He didn't have a bike. He was where? On his Chevrolet legs, right? With his chanclas, right? Not even the kind that have the Goodyear tire, like the Mexican kind, right? That's a long way to go, guys. I don't know about you guys, but man, I would just say, like, can we just stay in Jerusalem, Jesus? Like, but he didn't say that. He was very intentional. He says, no, we're going up. We're going back to Galilee. Right? He was a man that was decisive. But here's the other thing, what we also learn about in this passage, the context, right? Do the Jews and the Samaritans get along? She even says it herself. She says what? The Jews have nothing to do, right? The Samaritans. And this has to do because it happened to do with the exile in Babylonian, actually. The Samaritans married the Gentiles, and they practiced a lot of pagan, they had incorporated some of their pagan rituals, and that's why the Jews were like, we have nothing to do with them. Does that make sense? But they're if you look at lineage, they're related, right? In fact, they hated them so much that the Jewish people, if they were going to make that trip, would actually go all the way around. That was their custom. They wouldn't go straight across. Do you guys understand that? Do you guys have any enemies in your life that you would walk an extra 50 miles just so that you wouldn't see them? Some of you do. Some people do, right? You're like, I don't want to have nothing to do with them. That's kind of what's going on here. So Jesus, obviously, he doesn't choose the normal route that they usually would walk. Walking, it's already far, but they usually go 50 miles around to go this way. And Jesus is saying, no, we're going to go this way, guys. Now, that in itself is really strange, because a lot of people would have already been what? Do you see where Jesus is going? You see who he's going to go hang out with? The scandal's already starting, amen? So he's walking his way up there, right? And the other thing is, I always say, picture in your mind, that's a long way to go. There's conflict between the Jews and between the people of Samaria. So that's the context of what's going on. But then, as we pick up, he arrives somewhere. He arrives to Samaria, and it's about noon. Now, if you had been walking, and Jesus, man, I'm telling you, Jesus was fit. I keep talking to my brother Joe, we're going to start the Jesus Fit Ministry. He wasn't overweight like us, right? Because he walked about 20 miles a day. Like, when they got to going, he was power stepping. Now, they arrive to Samaria, and it's about what time? 12 noon, right? At noontime, is it hot or is it cold? Usually hot, right? And have you ever seen the terrain out there? It's hot. It's like a dry region. In fact, if you actually look at from like Google Earth and from satellites, you can actually see where Jerusalem is and where Israel is up from. You can see it from outer space. This is a true story. Only because they irrigate. Everything else there is desert, guys. I don't know if you guys know that. So at that time, there might have been some irrigation, but it was hot. And so they arrive at 12 noon. And there's something strange that happens there. There's somebody there that is drawing water at 12 noon. Who is it? Samaritan woman. Which is not customary at that time for somebody to be drawing water at that time. Why? If you're going to mow the lawn, do you pick like the hottest time of the day to go do that? No, right? You send your kids to go do that. But you don't send them out at the hottest time of day either, right? Yeah, unless they're mad, you're punishing them, okay? No, you don't. You kind of say like, hey, get up early while it's still cool, babe. Right, while it's still kind of, and that's when actually the women of that time would go draw water. Now, there's a reason why this woman goes to draw water at that time. She's what? She's shunned. She's an outcast. Right, so that's another thing that is quite strange and so unique about this encounter. You read it and you're just like, oh, okay, I get it. Jesus was talking to this woman at the well. No, the fact that he's even there, number one, is strange. The fact that number two, there's a woman at the well drawing water is strange. And three, right, and even shocks her that Jesus even talks to her, right, because she's an outcast. And the other thing that we noticed, right, in the culture of the time was that women weren't valued. I'll be quite honest with you, right? That's why Jesus is so awesome, amen? Because he always revealed himself, and a lot of the things you look at, when it's always the women first. It's always the women first. That he's bringing up parity, right? Jesus didn't come just to save the men. He came to save all of us, amen? And I said, man, we needed to be saved for ourselves. And every man in here should say amen to that. And that is the context. That's the background of what's going on. So you guys, did we tell a good story? Is that good enough? We're gossiping the gospel. You guys got a good idea what's going down? All right. That's the passage. That's the backdrop of where this passage takes place. And I'll talk some more a little about, because she actually starts bringing up some theology later on. And we'll talk some more about what's going on there. But the first thing that we're going to see, and we can all agree based on this passage, number one, that this woman is no saint. In fact, we know that she is a sinner. And Jesus does something strange, right? Number one, Jesus reaches out to her by humbling himself. Jesus reaches out to her by humbling himself. Now, did Jesus have to go through Samaria? I already told you guys, no. He made a decision to go to Samaria. It was customary for them to go all the way around to avoid the Samaritans. And then Jesus does something and he says, In verse 7, it says, will you give me a drink? And that startles her. Now, the fact that Jesus is a teacher, he's a rabbi, he's a Jew, and he's talking to her, is even shocks her, right? Because she's an outcast. She's not a saint, she's a sinner. And he engages with her in a conversation. There's something that we can all take away from this, right? Because in the church, we too can become very religious. We can become very religious really quickly. And we forget that every single one of us in here, we are like the woman at the well. And we stop, you know, the longer that we become followers of Christ, the more that we start becoming religious. Right? It's true. Like, oh, look at those people. Look at those sinners. Those people, right? And Jesus is saying, listen, he came in humility to share the good news. We have to be the same, brothers and sisters. We can get on our high horse and say, oh, look at that person. Like, look how they're doing. See, right? I've told them that they need God, but they want to do what they want to do, so they get what they get. Does that sound familiar? I've told them, but they want to hurt. They want to suffer. Jesus is not saying, look, we can't take that attitude. We have to have an attitude of humility the same way that Jesus Christ does. Amen? There's a reason why people are not attracted to the church. Why? Because they've been let down and they've been hurt in the church. Because people who proclaim to be followers of Jesus Christ can at the same time be very cruel, right? Can be backstabbing, can be two-faced, they can be liars. One of the things that we say at this church is we want this church to be authentic. We don't want it, like, what you see is what you get. We don't have the most polished band. We don't have, but I'm telling you, what you see is what you get, guys. And we're here that we just want to love Jesus and we want to love you. Straight up. No strings attached. We're here because it's like, this is what God has, what do we serve out of? Out of an overflow and abundance for what God has done in our heart. Not because this is like a profession. You know, whenever we meet somebody, right, what do? They start sizing you up right away. I go to church conferences and it's like, how big is your church? I say, we're 40 strong and we're good. And that's what God wants from us, amen? There, where did you go to get your degree? I got my PhD. We're praying hard daily. I didn't go to Talbot University. I didn't go to Fresno Pacific University. We do this because this is what God has put in our heart. We want to be authentic to that. Listen, the power is revealed in His Word, right? Not by the titles or diplomas that are on the wall. We love Jesus. And that's what we're hoping to do, right? And so listen, if you're here and that's you and you've been hurt by somebody that proclaims Jesus Christ, let me just say, I'm sorry on behalf of the church. I'm sorry, but you need to know that Jesus loves you and His grace is sufficient to even allow us to forgive people who have hurt us in the church. Amen? And so Jesus is reaching out and He's humbling Himself to her. But there's a misconception in the world, right? That people think, and I hear this a lot, and when we start talking to them about God's goodness, they immediately start to say what? I'm too messed up. I'm not ready to hear that message. Let me fix some things first. You invite them to church, you invite them to Bible study, and it's like, oh, I gotta figure some things out first. And that's a lie from the enemy, right? Because every single one of us knows that we can't get right without God. That we need to invite Him into the drama, invite Him into the mess, invite Him into the brokenness. And that He is the one that does the healing. The woman that's at the well is not a saint. She is a sinner. And Jesus engages with her through relationship. He talks to her. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is inviting you to engage people through relationship. By doing what? By talking to them. By engaging them. By meeting them where they are. Maybe it's at the well. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at the third cubicle down. Maybe it's in their office. Wherever God has you there for a reason. So that we can engage people by humbling ourselves. And not look for just like we're going to hang out with all the saved people. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus always was hanging out with people who are broken, who are flawed, who are sinners. And we need to be doing the same. Amen? So He's not too good. Right? Because there's people that we need to reach out to. We need to humble ourselves. And if we think that we are like, oh my gosh, I can't be seen talking to that person, then we're what? We're better than Jesus? I don't know about that. That's a dangerous place to be. That sounds like more like we're being Pharisees than it is like being like Jesus. Jesus didn't come, right, to give us religion. He came that we would have relationship. And we need to do the same. Now, the second awesome thing that happens right now, the second point in today's message, is that Jesus offers us living water to satisfy our greatest need. Jesus offers us living water to satisfy our greatest need. And in verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was asking for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Amen? Man, that's awesome. So I just told you guys, Jesus had been walking for 30 miles. So let's just say I invited you guys to a hike, right? The hike up the RS mountain over here. That's a long way. Number one, by the time we get there, we'll be like, oh, where's my inhaler? You know, got this asthma. By the way, Stephen has the worst asthma. You guys need to be careful when you're around him. He has the worst asthma. If you're around him, especially the brothers, I tell him, "I can't, brother. I got to go ask my wife." Sorry, I couldn't help myself. He knew I was going to say it. That's a good asthma to have, brothers. You want to coordinate. make sure that we're on the same page, man. That kind of asthma is dangerous, Stephen. Listen, we don't take ourselves that seriously around here. That's why I love Stephen. He's not all mad at me. He knew that I was going to tell that joke because he heard me say it like 3 times. Joy, right? The joy of the Lord is our what? Our strength. And I don't know, it's just like, we should be able to have joy when we're reading the Word. It's not just like, oh, when is he going to stop talking? It's so boring. I know sometimes I'm boring too. But listen, they were walking for 30 miles. He gets to the place and he is thirsty. He wants what? Water. And they start to have this dialogue. And she starts to tell him, he says, give me something to drink. And then he tells her, "If you knew who it was who was asking, you would ask me for water." She tells him a very logical question. Have you guys ever been to Mexico or somewhere, or El Salvador, where you have to draw water out of a well? How do you draw it? With a rope. With a bucket. This is a true story. My brother and I, we went to El Salvador. We were in early teens. And we're out there. They're like, where's the water? It's over there. I was like, where? You see that hole over there? I was like, what the heck? So we were over there, there's no water. You have to boil it. This is old school, right? Even to take a shower, you're like, what the heck? So we go over there to get water, and we're just trying to get the water out. Our cousin comes, a gal. She's 13. She's just laughing at us. She's like, get out of the way. And then she starts drawing water like it's nobody's business. I brush off. Come on, bro. She's embarrassing you, bro. Come on. Model, you're going to let her do that to you? She embarrassed us, actually. She did. She filled up the trough, and we're like, wow. We're not used to this. But the women at the well saying the same thing. You have nothing to draw the water with. How are you going to drop this living water? And Jesus wasn't talking about physical water. He's talking about what? A different kind of water. That gives us living water, amen? So right over here, we have some different containers about water. Because some of us, yes, physically, if you've ever been outside doing yard work, and you get inside, you're all thirsty, I'm dying, right? You ever feel like that? You're you can't drink enough water, huh? It happens to me once a year I'll do that, and then I get over that. I don't know why I started, it's so hot out here. But that happens to us, yes? And we want real water. Jesus was, at that time, he was parched. But he wasn't really having that kind of conversation. He was engaging with her. He was intentional, right? Finding the thing that was there, right, between them. He was using it. It was a practical application. So she's telling him, okay, you have no water to pull up with, right? Now, how do we apply it in our own lives? Because we know that we are seeking what? We might not always be thirsty, but in our lives, we're always seeking something, right? Jesus is saying, you're thirsty for something, right? And then he dives a little deeper. But listen, that's our lives, guys. I'm just going to tell you guys right now, straight up, Jesus is the one that comes to fulfill all of our wants and desires. These little bottles right here, they represent something. They're containers. They hold something. This one is regular water. Nothing special. This is the physical water that we need. We always drink it. We get thirsty, drink some more, drink some more. This one right here, you might say this is the living water if you're all tired like my brother over there. Girl, I need my monster. 5 o'clock in the morning. Right? It's my brother. True story. Yeah, so this might be your, like, I need my fix, right? In fact, I'm going to make this real. This sermon is about to get real extreme, okay? Hold on. This is mine, actually. Oh, man, it's about to be, turn it up. This is monster, okay? Don't. It's from this morning. But these other ones here represent different things. Because in our lives, we're taught that we need to achieve certain things. We need to have certain things, right? Like when you're a kid, you're taught, go to school, get your degree, work hard, right? This might be your education cup. And you think that if you fill it up and you drink from this, that you're going to be satisfied. Now, anybody that has done that, you'll know that it's like, man, I did a lot of work, and I don't remember half of what I studied for. I took all those finals, and I was like, but I have the diploma on the wall. I'm not dogging that. That's important, right? It opens a door. Let me just tell you, it's not the end all and be all. Because when you drink from that, you're going to find out to say, well, that's great. But what about, now what are you going to do? You're going to be a student forever? No. Then you got to get a job. You have your job container. And you work hard at it. And I'm not saying work with hard work ethic and do your thing and strive and be the best, right? My dad always said, if you're going to pick oranges, right? Pick oranges like you're the best. If you're going to be the janitor, be the best janitor. If you're going to be the box boy, be the best box boy. Pizza delivery guy, be the best pizza delivery guy. Whatever it is that you do, do it with all your heart. And you'll realize that, yeah, you're going to do that. But eventually, you drink from that one, and it's like, I'm so thirsty. Because then, right, there's a relationship one. And everybody's like, oh, you got to get the right relationship. You got to pursue these. You know, you got to find the right gal. You got to find the right guy. Make sure that he's cute. Make sure that she likes to cook and clean and do all these, pick up after you. Uh-oh, stroke of nerve there. I'm sorry. Oh, or gals, right? Bring it back. That he knows how to do it too, amen? Because we both have responsibilities in the house. Okay, I redeem myself. But then you get that relationship and you find out, right? You build someone. This one is a very dangerous one. Because of all the movies that we watch and all the TV shows, right? And it's always based on when I find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, that's the person that's going to complete me. This one has a lot to do with the woman at the well. And it got her into a lot of trouble. And if we're honest, there's people in here and family members that we know, friends and family, that this one gets them into a lot of trouble. Amen? Then there's this one over here, right? This could be you got the job. Now it's your finances. I should have picked the smaller one. Or no, this one, it's expensive. You got to fill it up. Living is expensive, amen?
Amen?
Get married, have kids. They didn't tell you how much it costs. Right? Amen? Man, I used to have four kids. I used to drink milk all at the same time. I would be 8 gallons of milk at Costco. They're like, man, you have a shopper? No, I got four kids, brother. I'm like, just every 2 weeks buying milk, 8 gallons, and like all kinds of diapers. Whew. I love babies, but I don't know if I do it again, babe. This is your financial one. It takes a lot of water to fill this one up. And if you're blessed, maybe you get it over here. Maybe it overflows. But guess what? You drink from this one, and you're still thirsty. It doesn't matter how much money you make, you don't have, you have, whatever it is, you're still thirsty. And this one, man, I found this one over there, but this one's like $50. I'm going to take it home. The Stanley cup by itself is $50, yeah. This is the family one. Get married and have kids, they told you. It's going to be amazing and fun. Yeah, amen? Amen. And so this one's pretty pink, right? And for the guys too. This is a family one. And then you have kids and you have family and you're like, I'm always tired all the time. And now this one's empty, I'm broke and tired. I've been drinking from both of these. What's going on? They told me that when I drank from both of these, I was going to feel satisfied. I was going to have purpose. I was going to feel this kind of way. But I just feel tired all the time now. I don't sleep. My body's all messed up now. I didn't have babies, but I put on 40 pounds when we had kids. She had the cravings. I was like, I'm right here with you, but I love this being pregnant thing. I did put on 40 pounds and the first two kids, and she's like, hey, you better tone it down. No. But you drink from all these things. You see where I'm going? That you're going to, you think that all this is meant to satisfy you. And it doesn't. You achieve all these different things. You find out that some of the things that happened to us in the past, those traumas, those hurts, those pains, our sin debt, listen what, it still carries forward. And there's no peace. And there's no joy. And then we start seeking other things to try to make us whole. We start seeking different things, different desires of our heart. Every single one, every person in here, we have a proclivity to sin. We have a proclivity, right? A tendency to want to seek something out because we were made for God. St. Augustine said it best, because we were made for God and our hearts are restless until we find Him. And then we'll try to fill this with all kinds of stuff. We'll compensate to say, I'm going to make so much money. I'm going to work hard because when I have all these things, and guess what? All these other things start to suffer. You get distracted. Life is more than money. This is a great thing, your kids, your family, but guess what? They're not meant to be your God. They become an idol. And that person that you put so much hope and desires and dreams around, sometimes they break your heart. This is not the living water, guys. These are all amazing things, but they're not meant to be God. Only God is God. Only God can fill us with the living water, the one that really, truly satisfies us. Because some of us in here, right, we've tried all of these. In fact, we've tried even more things. We've tried now even, these are kind of like things that people say like, and but these are more what people say like the goals that people teach you about. And then, when these don't satisfy, we go to the world. And we try all kinds of different things out there. And that just ends up in what? God is very clear. Wages of sin is death. And so we try to fill it with different things, whether it's different relationships, inappropriate relationships, it's alcohol, it's drugs, it's whatever it is that takes us away, right? We think it's going to fill us and give us purpose and mission, and it doesn't. Because we wake up and we're still what? We're still thirsty. There's an image that I want to show you guys. There's a campaign that ran a few years back about staying thirsty. And that's exactly what happens when we follow the world. You guys are going to be familiar with it, right? You guys know this guy? This is the eggy guy. I guarantee you that there's no other church in America that is showing this picture right now. They're like, I went to church and they had the Dos Equis guy up there. But this is what happens when you chase after the things of the world. You're going to stay thirsty, my friends. When you try to fill up all these things, nothing satisfies. You're going to stay thirsty. But Jesus promises what? You guys can take that down. Jesus offers us the living water to satisfy our greatest need. Our greatest need is having oneness with God. Our greatest need comes from Him first, to be made whole and made right with God. Because Jesus came not only to set us free, but to set us free from sin, but also from the shame that comes alongside it. Number three. Jesus came not only to set us free from the guilt of sin, but from the shame. Because in verse 16, Jesus tells her, go and call your husband and come back. And she says, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands. And the man that you're with now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true, right? Jesus gets to the nitty-gritty of why she's there at 12 noon. She's outcast. She's ashamed. Now, you know the difference between guilt and shame? Guilt is saying, I made a mistake. Shame is saying that I'm the mistake. There's something wrong with me, that I'm broken. There's a big difference. Shame is when we say to ourselves, right, there's something wrong with me, and we start believing the lies of the enemy. We believe the lies that we've been heard. We believe the lies that people have cast upon us. We believe what people call us, right? Oh, that guy, you know, el cholo, el marihuano, el ratero. Sound familiar? You grew up in a Spanish-speaking family, you hear those things, right? Oh, ese marihuano, you know? Yeah, it's true, right? I'll be honest, guys. This is stuff that you hear at your house, yes? Oh, el cholo, you know, don't talk to that guy. El ratero, el vagabundo, right? You hear all those things when you were growing up. Or maybe it was just my house. No, right? I think we're like all related in here. We're family. We're a big family. Because that's kind of where we go, right? The world says where we hang out, what we do, our flaws, our failures, right? Our heartbreaks. But we're not those things. This woman has had five husbands. And the one that is with her, that's not even her husband. Jesus didn't belittle her. He didn't make her feel small. He didn't shame her, right? He saw her where she was and he said, listen, right? Met her where she was and offered her the living water. He didn't judge her. We judge a lot in this world. Amen? We do. Every single person in here, we judge. Jesus is not like that. He sees people where they are and he says, listen, let me give you the living water because you've been doing all these things that are going to make you thirsty again. And in fact, what's awesome is that, listen, in this story, there's six people that she's been with, five husbands. She has a person that she's with now. But when she encounters the seventh, right, and there's always a magic number in seven, he's the one that sets her free. Amen? And his name is Jesus. Now, every single one of us in here, right, listen, we all have our pasts. We all have our hurts. We're not those things. Jesus came to set us free, not only from sin, but from the shame that comes with it, guys. We're celebrating, we're getting ready for Easter. I'm going to start wrapping it up here. We say this a lot, that Jesus came to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. But we forget the shame that Jesus endured on the cross. The shame of it. Every single person in here has committed or done something that they are not proud of, that they are ashamed of it. And we know what the sin costs. But do you imagine Jesus bearing the shame, the humiliation of all of our sins. That's our God. He invites us into a relationship with Him. He says, listen, you want that living water? I have it for you. I'll be made whole. And all that sin and the things that you've done and things that you're not proud of, I'm going to take that on for you. Not only just the sin, but the shame that comes behind it. And let me tell you something else. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, all that is put away. We're not those things anymore, guys. Our new identity, God says that we are. That He didn't send His Son to condemn the world. He sent His Son to save us from that. That's our God. And so when we look at our own lives, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see yourself the way that God sees you? Or do you see yourself for all your brokenness and all your flaws and all your imperfections? That's not the way that God sees us. That's not the way that Jesus looked upon the woman at the well. So every single one of us, when we look at ourselves, just say, listen, man, recognize that God loves you, that He paid the ultimate price to have a relationship with you through sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and to take away our shame. Amen? But here's the reality of it. The woman at the well, she had to get real with herself. She had to what? Accept it. She immediately does something else. Let me just take you guys on a little tangent. Because where they were at the base of the mountain, right? There's two mountains that were there. And she immediately does one thing. She starts deflecting a little bit. And she starts talking about religion and all these other things. And she's like, are you greater than, you know, Jacob built this well and our forefather? Are you such? And we worship over here on this mountain, all these other things about. She starts making excuses. She starts deflecting the question, right? She gets very religious right away. He didn't come for all that. He sees our heart, right? And He says, I didn't come here. He could have said, yeah, I know all these things, right? I was there. Right? I know the history. This conversation has happened 2,000 years after Jacob had dug up that well. You think Jesus doesn't know that? He does. But He looks past all of that. And He makes her whole. He invites her, right? And He tells her, He reminds her, because He gets to the heart of it. He says, listen, you start to worship and you start to do these things. He says, we worship on this mountain. And you guys worship down in Jerusalem. The person gets very religious right away about all the things they have to do to get right before they get right with God. And Jesus is saying, it's not any of that. He says, listen, what? God is looking for worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. When you drink from that water, right, you become part of the body, and He makes that invitation. So number four, and I'm just going to wrap up quickly. In Jesus Christ, we find not only healing, but the starting of a new life. Not only healing, but the starting of a new life. Because she goes away from there and she starts telling everybody, right? Come and see the man who told me everything about myself. And people were interested, like, who is this guy? She goes out and tells her testimony about what Jesus has done for her, made her whole. And everybody knew that she was a sinner, and they came out, right? More people gave, and Jesus ended up staying 2 more days with them there. Well, what's interesting about this woman is if you go through it, and if you look at it in the Protestant faith, meaning Baptist, Anglican Church, Charismatic, or even, you're not going to find her name. If you go back further, and this is more of a little history lesson for you guys, if you go back further and you look at the origins of the church and where the big splits are in the Roman Catholic Church and also in the Eastern Orthodox Church, this woman does have a name. And she starts off in John chapter 4, and she is a sinner. She goes on and she starts going. She goes to Rome even, right? And she ends up being killed and martyred by Nero. And guess how they did it? They threw her in a well. She started off as a sinner, but in the church she was recognized as a saint. That's our story, guys. Apart from God, we're all sinners. God invites us into his relationship with him through the living water that we find in Jesus Christ alone. And then he gives us a new life, a new purpose, new meaning. We have the oneness with him. Amen. Just so you guys can go and you guys can keep me honest about it. She becomes a saint. But her name is Photini, actually. Photini. Go and look it up. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that God took somebody that was shunned and the worst, and God had a special plan for her to share the good news of who he is, and more people got saved because of her testimony. Listen, I don't care where you are in your life right now. God wants to do something amazing. Number one, he wants to save you. Number one, he loves you and he wants to give you living water. And not just water that runs out, but the water that what? Springs up and gives life. Because Jesus came what? Life to the full. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your son, Jesus. Lord God, thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you, Lord God, that you came to set us free, not only from sin, but from our shame, Lord God. Father God, you are such an awesome and loving God, Lord. Thank you again for who you are in our lives. Lord, you are the one, Lord, that sustains us. You are the one that saves us, Lord God, and it is by your grace alone, Lord God. You call us, Lord God, into salvation. So, Father God, I know in a room this size, there's people here that are hurting. There's people that are suffering the shame and guilt of sin, Lord God. And right now, Lord God, I just pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would move, Lord God. That you would move, Lord, prompt, Lord God, these people into a right relationship with you first. You are the one that saves. You are the one that makes us whole. And we're not all the things, Lord God, that the world tells us. We're not failures, Lord God. We're not our sins, our past hurts, our pains, our brokenness, Lord God. When we put our faith in you, you call us your children. You call us loved. You call us precious and special. So, Father God, I just pray right now, Lord God, that you would move in the body, Lord, and help us to be reminded of who we belong to, that we belong to you first. Father God, forgive us for our sins. If we've had a hardened heart towards you and towards others, Lord God, will you soften that heart? Lord, there's people that we know that we need to reach out to, Lord God, that we've been religious people. You don't care about religion. You care about people. You care about souls. So help us to humble ourselves, Lord God, like we saw you humble yourself, Lord Jesus, to initiate a conversation and relationship with the woman at the well. Help us not to think so highly of ourselves, Lord God. Help us not to be Pharisees, Lord God, in our lives. But help us to be humble like you, Lord Jesus. Help us to share the good news of who you are to people that are desperate for living water. And Lord God, if we're living our lives like we're parched, Lord, help us to remember to go back to you, Lord Jesus. You came to refresh us and renew, Lord God. Every day is a gift from you. And we have access to you, Lord God, the creator of the universe through Jesus. Father God, we're in a world where there's a lot of pain and suffering. There's a lot of hurt, a lot of heartache. Depending on a lot of different things, Lord God, that are not of you. Lord Jesus, meet us at our need, Lord God. Help us to find ourselves, Lord, in you. Our hearts are restless until we surrender to you, Lord. And so today the invitation is for anybody that's here. If you've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit because he's the one that saves, then I encourage you to say yes to Jesus today. Nothing else is going to satisfy. Nothing else that we think is going to make us whole, whether it's career, job, and education, relationship, nothing satisfies because we were made for a relationship with God. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to follow along on this prayer this morning. And it's very simple. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Father, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my brokenness. Forgive me for trying to chase after all these things that I think I need to pursue to make me whole. Forgive me, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart this morning because I want to have a right relationship with you. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you came for the forgiveness of my sins. and that you died on the cross and you were resurrected, and now you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Help me to live for you. Help me to find my true purpose and identity in who you say that I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you prayed that prayer in earnest this morning, I ask you if you can raise your hand. We'll encourage you on your walk this morning. We're here just to love on you. God is who he says that he is. And our church, we just want to walk alongside you, along the body of believers. Amen. For the rest of us, help us to be renewed daily in our relationship. Help us to continue to be connected so that the living water overflows in our lives. And help us to give some water and share the good news of who Jesus is to our friends, family who are living their lives parched, who are desperately seeking for living water. And we can share the good news of who they are, Lord God. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy. Father God, watch over us, Lord God. Protect us. Keep us safe. Thank you for the invitation and the invitation, Lord God, to be a part of your body. We don't take it lightly, Lord God, what you came to do. Prepare our hearts. Continue, Lord God, to work through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as we get ready for Resurrection Sunday. Watch over us, guide us, and keep us safe. Thank you again for your goodness. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.